It's time for peeking inside the grapevine and filling in for Jimmy the Greek Young once again. Here's Captain Lou.
Thank you very much. Welcome to Peeking Inside the Grapevine on this Thursday, June the 18th, 2026. At least that's what it says on the calendar. I don't know, man. I looked out the window this morning. I took the dog for a walk, and down here in Lower Michigan, it was 59 degrees, and it's 48 degrees up there. Are we sure it's not October the 18th? But nonetheless, we've got a lot to talk about. So without any further ado, let's tell you who makes this possible here on Peeking Inside the Grapevine. Coca-Cola of Hancock. Open up some happiness with all your favorite Coke products at your local stores from Coca-Cola and Hancock. Portage Tire and Auto Repair, Ethel Avenue in Hancock. They've got a great selection of brand-name tires in stock to keep your vehicle driving smooth the year-round. David Jacuri with Century 21 North Country Agency in Houghton is the official realtor of Peeking Inside the Grapevine. David Jacuri represents buyers and sellers and can be reached at 281-1846. That's David Jacuri, Century 21. For all your embroidery and silk screening necessities, from team or company shirts, personal apparel, banners, trophies, and everything in between, see Joe and Stacy at Homestead Graphics in Barriga, 906-353-6741. Dave's BP Super Service in Hancock, the area's only full-service gas station. Dave's open 7 days a week. Towing available 24/7, 365. Dave's BP Super Service of Hancock, 482-3410. Dr. Grant Olson and the Northland Veterinary Clinic provides quality care for your family pets. Call 906-482-3400. Keweenaw Overhead Door is your Clopay Garage Door distributor in the Copper Country. They're on Sharon Avenue in Houghton. Open Monday through Friday. Call them at 906-483-3791. Tim's Excavating and Skidding Service. They provide all your excavating needs, from foundations to driveways. Sewer and water services, too. They're licensed septic installers. Call 906-370-4370. Saracen Family Dental, conveniently located on 896 Campus Drive in Hancock. They offer all aspects of family dentistry for the entire family. Call Dr. Saracen today for an appointment. Dr. Tyler Saracen at 482-8601. Houghton Building Supply on M26 Brickyard Lane in Houghton, behind Keweenaw Automotive, has been providing quality building materials to homeowners, contractors, and remodelers all over the Copper Country, from the foundation to the rooftop. Know your true value franchise. And Tundra Lodge and Resort in Green Bay, Wisconsin, featuring one of the biggest water parks in the Midwest. Go on to tundralodge.com or call 920-405-8700 to book your stay. And they feature daily water or walk-in water passes. Remember, hours may vary throughout the summer. If you've got problems with spiders, ants, fleas, mice, and other pests, contact A-Plus Pest Management at 281-4975. They'll cure whatever is bugging you. And finally, Uper Fitness, your hometown gym, featuring a wide variety of cardio, free weights, and cable machines, approximately 10,000 square feet, located inside the Copper Country Mall. Well, hi again, everybody. Captain Lou here. Hope Jimmy's doing well. He'll be up doing the old Trinary two-step in no time. But in the meantime, let's get you caught up in the world of sports. How about the new hire of the Toronto Maple Leafs, Jim Hiller? They're the hero of the Northern Michigan championship team way back in 1991. He gets the nod as the head coach for the Toronto Maple Leafs. He's going to have his work cut out for him, as they're now down in the bottom, but they get the opening pick, the opening draft pick in this year's NHL draft, and it's more likely going to be Gavin McKenna, the star forward out of Penn State. So he's got Austin Matthews. He's got Nylander. He's got some talent in Toronto, but he's also going to have to deal with the overzealous Toronto media, the overzealous Toronto fan base. But hey, Jim Hiller, he may not be the sexy pick for the head coaching job in the NHL circles, but he does bring some cred. Like I said, he played at Northern Michigan. He played in the NHL. And, you know, in his first stint as a head coach for the LA Kings, with talent that quite frankly, I don't think he was dealt a very good hand talent-wise there. He took them to the playoffs in his 2 years. He took over in 24, won 21, went 21-12-1 in his opening year. Then in his only full year as a head coach at L.A., he was 48-25-9, so he had 105 points, which I know the folks down in Detroit would take in a heartbeat right about now. And then he was 24-21-14, 62 points. He got fired midway through last season as the Kings ended up going to the playoffs. But Hiller is, I think he's a good pick for the Toronto Maple Leafs. Like I said, he pretty much, it's going to see starting that Toronto Maple Leafs franchise from the bottom. They get the top pick through the lottery in the NHL draft. So good luck to Jim. Congratulations. I hope he does real well for the Toronto Maple Leafs as the head coach. Now the next one for the fabled franchise, a team that hasn't won a Stanley Cup now going on 60 years. Just think about that for a second. You talk about futility. The Lions, of course, have it from 1957. The Knicks just won a franchise or a world championship for the first time in 53 years. But the Maple Leafs or the Maple Loafs, whatever you want to call them, they haven't won a Stanley Cup in going on 60 years. So here's to Jim Hiller. Good luck. All right, let's turn to Major League Baseball. How about the Tigers? They've dropped another one yesterday. Same score as last night, or as Tuesday night, rather. 4-2 to the Houston Astros. Three hits. That's all the Tigers got in that game against Houston. Peter Lambert pitched seven innings of two-hit ball, giving up a home run to Terry Carpenter to lead off the eighth inning, and he was pulled. Hader got the save. Those of you that are Brewer fans know Hader way too well. He got two saves in that series for the Tigers. Kevin McConagle got a home run as well for the Tigers. As now it's desperation time for the Tigers. Now, again, we talked about it the other day. They're fortunate enough to play in such a abysmal American League. And I say that because the two teams that are tied for the last wild card spot in the American League are two games below 500. This would have been the series for the Tigers to make hay because the Brewers did them a favor by beating the Indians the first two games of that three-game set. The Yankees swept the White Sox. So, I mean, Detroit didn't lose any ground, but they could have very easily gained some ground. But that's been the story of the Tigers throughout the year. You know, they can't get out of their own way. And as crazy as it sounds, for those of you looking for a silver lining, and only six games out of a wild card spot, 15 games below 500. How sad is that in the American League? But next up for the Tigers, they got a six-game homestand starting tomorrow. They've got today off as they get to lick their wounds, if you will. Then they've got a three-game set at home against the Tigers. Tarik Skubal, who in everybody's minds won't be a Tiger beyond August 3rd with the trade deadline. He takes the bump on Friday. Troy Melton, who got scratched for the opener Monday night against the Astros, he's going to pitch on Saturday for the Tigers. And then Justin Verlander, he's going to get another opportunity for the Tigers. He's only got one start. He was injured throughout the month of April and May, had a couple of rehab starts in June. One went pretty good for the Tigers. The other one, not so great in Toledo. But he's going to get the start for the Tigers. So that's going to be interesting to see what happens with Verlander from here on out. Is it going to kind of be like Clayton Kershaw towards the end with the Dodgers? A spot start here and there, maybe long relief, whatever. Whatever you can do for the Tigers. I know the Tigers brought him in to potentially help them get over the top as they made the playoffs the last couple of years. But as you can see, the record shows the Tigers are far away from any type of maybe technically, mathematically, they've got a shot, but they're light years compared to last year. So anyways, we'll see what happens with Justin Verlander. He takes the bump on Sunday against the White Sox. How about the Brewers? They won again yesterday over the Cleveland Guardians, as we mentioned. They're atop the National League Central Division. Big win for the Brew Crew, as we mentioned, as they've won the second of two games. Patrick got the win for the Brewers yesterday, 9-4 over the Guardians. They've got another game against Cleveland this afternoon in Milwaukee. It's going to be a matinee affair, 2:10, as it looks like Johan's going to go for the Brewers as they look for the sweep and try to maintain at least a 5.5 game lead over the St. Louis Cardinals, as we mentioned, in the National League Central. The Brew Crew off to another great start again this year, as they are now 45-26, 25-14 at home. Now, after this one for the Brew Crew tonight, they travel to begin a six-game road trip with three games against Atlanta down in Atlanta. That's going to be a monster series as far as Major League Baseball goes. I know it's early. I get it. It drives some people crazy when you talk about the playoffs in June. But this could be a playoff preview because, let's face it, the Brewers, unless they have an epic collapse, I think they're going to be there in October. But it's going to be an awesome preview. Two really good teams, two really good franchises right now, the Braves and the Brewers. It's going to be coming up on Friday. It's going to be the Wonderkin, Mizorowski, taking the bump for the Brew Crew. He's going to go up against Sale, Chris Sale, on Friday night. Harrison's going to take the bump on Saturday for the Brewers, and then Gosser on Sunday. So we'll keep an eye on that, Brewer fans, as the Brewers looking to keep it going. 19 games over 500, but before, again, like I said, before they go to Atlanta, they've got the third of a three-game set this afternoon, a matinee affair, 2 o'clock Eastern time, as they take on the Guardians in Milwaukee. All right, let's take a quick look at the standings in Major League Baseball. We talked about it, the Yankees now with a 3.5 game lead over the Tampa Bay Rays, the White Sox and Guardians on top, 4.5 over the Twinkies, and in the West, the Mariners, one game over 500. They've got a game and a half lead over the Houston, or the Athletics, don't call me, Oakland Athletics. In the National League, the Braves, the aforementioned Braves, a 6.5 game lead over the Phillies. Look out now for the Phillies. They're trying to make it now under Donnie Baseball, Don Mattingly, the quote-unquote interim manager. In the Central Division, we mentioned the Brewers with a 5.5 game lead. Picked up a game on the St. Louis Cardinals last night. The Brewers 45 up, 26 down. And the Dodgers enjoying the biggest lead in Major League Baseball right now, 9 games over the San Diego Padres. All right, what else is going on in the world of sports? Let's go back to hockey real quick again. Nothing new on the Dylan Larkin front for Major League, or for the National Hockey League's Detroit Red Wings. Of course, he wants to be traded. He expanded on his list of teams that he wanted to be traded to. And we talked about it the other day. Steve Yzerman's not going to be bullied into making a trade. You can blame whoever you want. You know, it's been 7 years since the, or actually it's been 10 years since the Red Wings made the playoffs. Yzerman obviously hasn't made it in his 7 years at GM, but this, like we said, is going to be the most interesting and probably the most important offseason in Red Wings history, as they've got a lot of question marks. They've got some holes to fill. Obviously, they need another scorer. Now they're going to need another frontline center. Do they make a trade before the draft next week? Do they go after a first-round draft pick that they gave up in that trade for the defenseman? Who knows? So much to look at. Do they get rid of Sebastian Costa, the previous first-round draft pick, the goaltender? That's really, he's done quite well in Grand Rapids, but not enough to get on the main roster in Detroit. They've got some other goalie prospects, including Trey Augustine recently from Michigan State, who tore it up for the Spartans in the NCAA. He's been touted as a potential goalie of the future. So a lot of question marks for the Red Wings coming into the draft. And the biggest one, again, the curveball that was thrown from Dylan Larkin demanding to be traded. And, you know, you read the stories, it's, you know, the fan base and the media. Right now it's about 50-50 who to blame. And I think now you're starting to wonder, do the Red Wings decide maybe to blow it up and, again, build for the future? I don't know if the ownership, I don't even know if the ownership cares, to be honest with you, but I don't know if the ownership is going to allow that. Is the fan base going to stand for another 2 to 3 years without making the playoffs? They've got some pieces in place, but obviously they haven't gotten the formula yet to get them over the top. So that's something that we'll keep an eye on. Well, we talked about the other day about Brandon Sorsby and you know, all the gambling issues that he had. Well, it came out the other day that he now has done an about face, and he has decided to petition the NFL for the supplemental draft. We talked about that on Tuesday a little bit, and kind of how it works, where the teams with six, it's a weird setup with this lottery for a supplemental pick. Now, we talked a little bit about it the other day. I kind of misspoke. Not the worst six teams, first third. All the teams that have 6 wins or fewer go into the first batch, and they get weighted balls. It's kind of like a lottery system to pick who gets the draft order for that. Then it's all the teams after that that didn't make the playoffs in the second group of teams. Then they're all lumped in, and the balls are weighted depending on their records to see what the order is. And then finally, the third grouping is all the teams that made the playoffs. So my question to you is, Brandon Sorsby was rated as one of the top quarterbacks coming out of the draft besides Fernando Mendoza. A lot of folks thought that he may go ahead of Ty Simpson, who got drafted by the Rams with the 13th pick of the draft. If you're the Lions or the Packers, and, you know, you've got a backup quarterback situation, you've got Jordan Love in Green Bay, you've got Jared Goff in Detroit. Now, with Detroit, they've got Bridgewater as a backup, and I don't know how much you can count on him. Would you put a flyer? Let's say that you say, all right, if it gets to the fourth or fifth round, and, you know, he's still available, would you put in, you have to put in what round that you would draft him in the supplemental draft. So if I'm the Lions or the Packers, I'd say, you know, just for kicks and giggles, I'd say, let's put him in for a fifth-round draft pick. Now, if that were to be the case and he got all the way down to the fifth round, and let's say Detroit claimed him, they wouldn't have a fifth-round draft pick in 2027. This is a guy, you know, he's got some talent. Obviously, he's got the baggage, but he's got talent. So we'll keep an eye on that to see what transpires with that. But I think I would do something like that. I'd put him I'd put in for a fifth-round pick. Why not? And then, you know, it's not like you're losing a first-round draft pick. All right, we got a couple of minutes left. We touched on it Tuesday with Michigan State and their athletic director situation. Jay Batt went to Kentucky. He's getting $3 million a year to be the new athletic director at Kentucky. Boy, I'll tell you what, it must be nice to be able to make that kind of coin in college sports. We all know how the money situation is there. He's going to be now one of the top five athletic directors, money-wise, in the country. It's crazy. U.S. Open in golf opening up this week at Shinnecock. Who's your favorite? I don't know if I've really got a favorite in this one. I know Rory McIlroy's not my favorite from a personal standpoint, but it's so wide open. I watched some of the highlights already on those greens, which are miserable and ridiculous. It's been the U.S. Open's been there 3 times or 4 times, and only once, I believe, a golfer has won it, shooting under par. That's kind of ridiculous. And my last question I'm going to leave you with here as we close things out. Are you interested in the World Cup? Are you watching it at all? The USA plays tomorrow afternoon against Australia. I'm not a soccer fan per se. I'll tune it in until I see one too many flops, which, you know, it's worse than basketball. But if you watch it, I hope you enjoy it. It sounds like it's been very good. It's been a very good event so far. They're getting record crowds. I mean, the interest is there. It's the world stage. It's the world sport, the most popular sport in the world. Just not sure if it's something that I would spend a Friday afternoon, especially if the weather's nice. But I'll check it out. I'm sure I will for a few minutes just to stay up on what's going on. All right, that's going to do it for this edition of Peeking Inside the Grapevine. I want to thank my good pal, Jimmy the Greek Young, for letting me sit in for him this week while he's convalescing, and I hope he's getting well real soon. We'll see him back doing the Toy Bowl or the Trenary two-step here in no time. And I want to thank everybody for taking time out to listen throughout the world on your radios or if you're listening on the Internet. Thank you for taking time to be with me. Until next time, Captain Lou saying keep your heads up, keep your sticks down, keep your feet moving, and as always, keep your minds open. Have a great weekend, everybody. Let's send it back to Sam in the studio.